in the middle of the night, a week or so ago, I got up thinking maybe I had to go to the bathroom, and then I like fell down on the ground in the bathroom, and for 5 minutes, I experienced the worst pain that I later deduced must have been a kidney stone. So if you know anything about that, it is about 5 minutes where you think you are dying. And I didn't know what was happening. I have low blood pressure, so I thought it was like passing out. I was like losing. I don't mean to scare you kids. I know the kids are in here. I'm here. I'm alive. Everything's fine. But 5 minutes where I was like, felt like I was like slipping away from life. It was super scary. It was traumatic. And during that time, during these, not when I was on the floor, but during these times, I thought to myself, my oh my, this feeling like I'm like dying, all this pressure and all of it. There's got to be a psalm for that, right? If you don't know what's going on, why people are laughing, that's a series we've been in. We've been looking at the psalms, which are songs in the Old Testament that God gives us for different times in life. And I think there's got to be a psalm for this where I just feel like, I feel like I'm dying. There's got to be something. And this is honestly what I did. All right, there's 150 psalms. Pick a number between 1 and 50. First thing that comes to my mind, I just think 18. I'm like, okay, God, is that you? I don't know. I'm going to open the Bible. I don't know what Psalm 18 is, but I'm going to read it. And actually, read it with me, the first six verses. I laid in bed and I read this. I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield, and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call to the Lord who is worthy of praise, and I have been saved from my enemies. The cords of death entangled me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of the grave coiled around me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears. So when you feel like you're dying, yeah, there is a psalm for that. I discovered it, Psalm 18. God led me to Psalm 18, and here I am sharing it with all of you. And it's actually about more than that. It's about more than just something to read when you feel like life is being choked out of you. It's about finding power, power, power in weakness, which is indeed the Christian life. And we're going to get into all of that. First, I'm going to say a prayer. Father God, just as you have been with me these last couple of weeks, Lord, be with me now. Be with us. Show your miraculous power in our midst, pointing us to the truth of a king who was born, a king who died, and a king who was resurrected and who lives and who reigns. Lord, let that live here through me, in us, through us. Let us experience the risen Savior. Guide us in power, Lord Jesus. In your name, amen. Okay, so let's look at these six verses. I just read it. Yeah, the cords of death entangled me. The cords of the grave coiled around me. Kids, I'm going to need your help here and there for this sermon, actually. So I'm glad you're in here. What's the name of that kind of snake that, like, coils around you? What is that called? A what? Oh, I'm hearing different things. A boa constrictor. That's what I thought of when I read it. And that's kind of was like, ah, a cobra. Those will get you, too. Oh, my, oh, my. I felt it. So what do we do? Let's take it, you know. But it's actually kind of a long psalm, so we're not going to look at all of it, but we'll look at part of it. So you feel it. It's squeezing you. What do you do? Okay, kids again. Kids. Jesus actually thought that we could learn from you. So you're going to help me. Jesus said if you want to enter the kingdom of heaven, you have to do it like a little kid. So I'm actually going to look to you guys because I think you have some wisdom here that we can learn from. Okay, so if you're in trouble, kids, if you are in trouble and you need help, what do you do?
Blame it on the dog.
Blame it on the dog. That's not the answer I was looking for. What do you do? What do you do, kids, when you need help? Boom! Booyah! That's, you ask your parents to help you. You be quiet back there. You just wait. You'll get another chance. You ask your parents for help. That's so simple, isn't it? My kids do that, and you know what? No one taught them how. They just know how to do it. What? Why? Sometimes what? Sometimes math problems are difficult. So this is good. We're dealing with medium-level problems, math-level problems. It can apply to all things. And, you know, that's what we see here, actually. He is feeling like death is slipping, choking him, and he says, what is it? Verse 3, I called to the Lord. Verse 6, in my distress, I called to the Lord. It's repeated. I cried to him. This is just what kids do. Trouble, it's really the most intuitive thing. Babies do it. You cry for help. I need help. What we're talking about is how to find power in weakness. Step one, call out to God. Ask him for help. I mean, on one hand, I want to be like, well, duh, do we really need to be told this? And we actually do need to be told this because a lot of times we don't do it. Something I notice about my wife, who's not here right now, she's watching online. I love you, Erin. She's with little Charlotte who had surgery. My wife, one thing that is great about her is it doesn't matter what the issue is, she's just quick to ask God for help. Be like driving in the car and it's like, oh, I don't know where to turn. And she'll be like, Lord, help us. And I'll think, well, it hasn't actually gotten to that point yet. Like we haven't exhausted all of our options yet. We don't need to ask for help yet. And really that's like on me though, you know what? Because that's what we do. We don't turn to God. We don't cry out to help. We don't cry out for help. If something happens, kids do it. Kids know how to ask their parents for help. But something happens where we don't until we have to. We don't until we have to. And in God's goodness, he brings us to places where we have to. Okay. No, I'm not crying. Very emotional, though. It's been a tough couple times. I like you. I'm going to need your help soon. Just hold on. Okay. Okay, so step one, it's plain. It's clear. We cry out to him. I have to add a little asterisk type thing, a little like footnote. God's going to answer him. Let me just tell you in advance. Crying out to God has to be done. Well, if you keep reading, he actually says, like, my enemies cried out to him and he did not listen to them. They asked for help and he would not help them. So what was going on when the psalm was written, actually, he's referring to King Saul, who was like opposed to him. And King Saul, actually, at times he would ask God for help. He would ask God for help, but what was lacking with King Saul's requests for help is he wanted God's help, but he didn't want God to be his God. As in, he didn't want to surrender. He wanted God's help, but he didn't want God to be on the throne of his life. He wanted to be on the throne. And this is just an important thing to point out. When we cry out to God, it has to be from that place of, Lord, help me. My life belongs to you. Lord, take my life. Help me, not just with this problem, but live in me with all things. I give my life to you. We're just talking about what this crying out means. It means, God, take everything. So this is just clarifying what we're talking about. We cry out to him, Lord, help, take it all. Take my life, live in me, help me, save me, be my God. Okay, so step one on this understanding of finding power and weakness, cry out to God. Okay, next, let's read, jump ahead. Starting in verse 9, he says, he parted the heavens and came down. Dark clouds were under his feet. He mounted the cherubim and flew. He soared on the wings of the wind. He made darkness his covering, his canopy around him. The dark rain clouds of the sky, out of the brightness of his presence, clouds advanced with hailstones and bolts of lightning. The Lord thundered from heaven. The voice of the Most High resounded. He shot his arrows and scattered the enemy. With great bolts of lightning, he routed them. The valleys of the sea were exposed, and the foundations of the earth laid bare at your rebuke. Lord, at the blast of breath from your nostrils, he reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. All right, children, you're up again, okay? When you cry out for help, what does mom and dad do? Don't listen to that voice over there. You're on fire today. You cry out for help, and what do they do? Say it again. They help you. Of course they do. And it's so simple. And let me give a specific example. If you're downstairs and you cry out for help and mom and dad are upstairs, what's the first thing they do? They come downstairs. Next week, you're going to preach the sermon, okay? Because you got all the answers. You practice and prepare. You hear what she, if you didn't hear what she said they come down. When you call out to them, they come down. And that's what we read here. He came down. He parted the heavens and he came down. Verse 9, verse 18, he reached down on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. He came down. He asked, he came down. All right. Every so often, I get to use my philosophy degree. I got a philosophy degree a long time ago in college. And there's something called deism. You ever hear of deism? It was popular in the 1700s. Benjamin Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, they were deists. Oh, those are Americans. Forget that. French. Voltaire, Jean-Jacques Rousseau, Enlightenment philosophers, French. Sorry, I don't have any Canadians I can throw at you. But these were deists, okay? And a deist believes. They believe. It's more of a philosophy than a religion, but it's this idea that, yes, God exists. God exists as creator, and he created morality. So deists believe in a divine order, specifically of morality and creation. But that's really where it ends. As in, the term that's often used is God is the divine clockmaker. He winds up the clock, and then he sits back. Perhaps it's captured more modern day. Anyone know the musician Nick Cave? Nick Cave, I don't know, Australian musician. He's got a song. It's a good song, actually. It starts out with, I do not believe in an interventionist God. And that's deism. The song gets better when you keep listening. But that's deism, is the idea that, yes, God exists, but he doesn't intervene. All right? He doesn't actually come down and change things. Deists don't believe in miracles. They don't believe in a God that actually intervenes. And Christians can actually live this way. And I want to suggest something to you. This is worse than atheism. This is worse than atheism. Why? Because this is believing in a God who doesn't really care. I'd rather have no God than a bad God, okay? And there's one thing God does not want is us painting him in our hearts and in our minds as being someone who is uncaring and unseen. We indeed, we believe, we profess, we read about a God who sees, a God who cares, a God who is paying very close attention. And this, my friends, this question, does God see? Does God care? Will God intervene? Will God help when I cry to him? This is the question that is at the battlefront in our hearts as the devil does all he can to tell us, no, you are alone. There's no one to help you. You better just help yourself. This is the cosmic question. The way that it's written in the Bible, in the Old Testament, it's repeated. Can he spread a table in the wilderness? Yes. In the desert, can he make a feast? In the desert, can he make our souls happy? Yes. You got it. Yes. That's the answer. Yes. Is God able to help? That is the question that is wrestled by the devil, and he tries to take it from our minds. In the wilderness, in the desert, in times of scarcity, in hard times, is God able to make you happy? Oh, so after I got up off the floor, when I had a kidney stone, after I got up the floor and laid in bed, my wife had started to fall asleep. And then she says, and she's never said this before. She says, I saw something. I guess you could call it like a prophetic image or something. She's like, I saw the desert, and I saw the back of the shepherd walking. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He guides me to paths of righteousness. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. This way that I've been feeling the last couple weeks, I've felt this before, but not since before we came here. To be honest, it was a hard time, and there's more going on than I have time to get into right now. But I have not felt this way since before we came here. Before we came here, there was a very, very hard season of life because for 9 months, we didn't know if we were moving to Montreal or not, and it created a lot of uncertainty and a lot of questions, and that was just for whatever reason hard on me, and we had to make decisions based on these questions of uncertainty. And there was this one time, actually I found an email exchange from June 11th, 2020, where this was recounted, where there was this one time where I'm just feeling it. I'm just feeling the weight of uncertainty, what felt like insecurity. Lord, I need help. I need help. And I walked and that psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Psalm 23, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Even as I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod, your shepherd rod, your shepherd's staff comforts me. I follow you. I was just meditating on that. I was saying it out loud as I walked and I pray. I was saying it out loud. Psalm 23. And it just felt like a lot. And then later that day, I got a call from our realtor, and he said, we got a full price offer on your home. I was like, wow, thank you, God. I needed that encouragement. And then I got an email that night from Becky Stymus on behalf of the SLT, the elders. And she said, I wanted to let you know that we met today. And Peter Katuga prayed Psalm 23. Over your family. These times that God gives us just the encouragement that we need to remind us the shepherd is there. He's walking in front of you. In the desert, in the wilderness, know that. He's guiding you. He is able to spread a table in the wilderness. He is able to bring happiness. When you cry to him, he hears. And at the right time, he comes down. This is something that needs to be added. There are times when he doesn't intervene immediately for good reasons. How does it say? I think it's 1 Peter. After you've suffered a little while, He will confirm, he will restore. Sometimes that suffering a little while is helpful. And that is more than I have time to get into right now, other than to say that this is part of making us strong. But yes, we call to him. And yes, he comes down and he helps. My brother, I remember last time we were in Wisconsin, he was telling me, he's not a believer. He says, there's so many religions. There's so many religions out there. How do you know? How can you really know? You can't really know. And I remember feeling like, God has not left us in the dark. That it's not just about like, oh, how do you know which one is true? It's about God has not, it would be cold of him to just say, okay, figure it out, guys. It's a complicated mess. There's no way of knowing. That's an uncaring God. That is not the God that we have. He has not left us in the dark. He's given us a light. He's come down. It's the Christmas message. He's come down. Okay, more on that in a little bit. Okay, so call to him. He comes down. Let's pick it up. Psalm 18, beginning verse 32. It is God who arms me with strength and keeps my way secure. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He causes me to stand on the heights. He trains my hands for battle. My arms can bend a bow of bronze. You make your saving help my shield, and your right hand sustains me. Your help has made me great. You provide a broad path for my feet so that my ankles do not give way. I pursued my enemies and overtook them. I did not turn back till they were destroyed. I crushed them so that they could not rise. They fell beneath my feet. You armed me with strength for battle. You humbled my adversaries before me. Okay, here it is. Cry out to God. God came down, and what God did in coming down and intervening, he says it multiple times in different ways. He gave me strength. He gave me power. He gave me strength for battle. God gives us power in times of weakness. Now, let us understand this. Listen, this is important. God gives us power. What is this power for? What is this power that he gives us? We cry out to him. He answers. He gives us power. What is this power? Just hold on a second. For 7 months, we've been in the series on the Psalms. And God has been teaching us something. He's been teaching us how to sing. He's been teaching us how to sing songs in the wilderness. The power, first and foremost, the power that he grants us when we cry out to him in times of trouble, first and foremost, the power that he gives us is the power to sing. Not songs simply with our lips, but songs from the heart. His love endures forever. God is with us. And it is from this power, and this is faith. It is from this. This is what the Bible calls the faith that overcomes the world. He gives us a song in our heart. God is not a God who will not intervene. Though I am suffering, though this is hard, there is a God who sees, a God who cares. Hallelujah. This is the power. And from this power, we ask and receive. From this faith, we move mountains. From this song in our heart. By faith, they conquered kingdoms. By faith, they shut the mouths of lions. By faith, they escaped the edge of the sword. Hebrews 11 says this, by faith, their weakness was turned into strength. And that's what this whole thing has been about. Yes, There are times in the desert, there are times in the wilderness, there are times laying on the bathroom floor where you feel weak in this life. But for the Christian, this weakness can be a source of power. Because when we're weak, we cry out, God comes down, and he works in us to give us a song. God came down. It's the Christmas message. And not only that, this power that we find in weakness, that's what Jesus did. He was born in weakness. The Almighty God was born a person who would feel pain, who would feel hunger, and who would experience death. In weakness, he was crucified, but he was raised in power. And this is something that you discover in the wilderness. You discover Jesus. What did the Apostle Paul said? He said, I want to know him. I want to know the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his suffering, the fellowship of his suffering, experiencing him. Jesus walked through the wilderness. Jesus suffered in the wilderness. And here in the wilderness, he helps us. And in the wilderness, we know him. We experience him. Oh, let me read the last part. The Lord lives. Praise be my rock. Exalted be God, my Savior. He is the God who avenges me, who subdues nations under me, who saves me from my enemies. You exalted me above my foes. From a violent man you rescued me. Therefore I will praise you, Lord, among the nations. I will sing the praises of your name. He gives his great king victories. He shows unfailing love to his anointed, to David and his descendants forever. Oh, so much. I want to tell you about some things happening in my life, but I'm not going to right now for a couple of reasons. For one, there's a bouncy house in the gym, and I don't want to go over my time because I want the kids to have all the bouncy time that they can have. Also, this last verse, he gives his king great victories. He shows unfailing love to his anointed, to David and his descendants forever. There's one more song this year that we're going to do. And it's a Christmas song. It's in the Bible. It's not a psalm, but it's a song. Mary sang it. You could call it the first Christmas song. Mary sang it, and we're going to go through it on Wednesday. And it ends exactly like this one, with the same line. Hope, promise, love for descendants forever. And I so much want to tell you about a way that God has been working in our life. But I'm going to leave a little bit of a cliffhanger. I'll probably get into it, not guaranteed. I'll tell you eventually. I'll probably get into it on Wednesday. But on Wednesday, what we are going to do, this is what we're going to do for sure. We are going to, now, and especially Wednesday, we're going to put into action what God has been teaching us. And we're going to sing. God's going to help us. He's going to work in our spirit. Some of you, I imagine a lot of you, because it's how life is, are dealing with trouble right now. You're experiencing the wilderness. We're going to sing because we have a God who we can cry out to, a God who sees, a God who cares, and at the right moment, a God who has come down and a God who will come down. I'm going to pray. Emmanuel, God is with us. Lord, let that song flow from our hearts. We have a God who sees, a God who cares, a God who intervenes, just like you did when you came, Jesus. And now, just like you came and just like you died and were resurrected, live in us with such power, with such resurrection power. Live in us the power to sing in the wilderness. Because you are still God.
Lord Jesus, work in us. By the power of your Holy Spirit, work in us to sing. We praise you, Jesus. In your name, amen.